Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you can. Don't forget all the things you can do there. Lots of things that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Dunkelberg. You know who he is. He's an old friend of ours and has been with us many, many times over the years, and dozens and dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times. He's a professor of economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University, and he was the dean there for a number of years and in charge of the advanced study of entrepreneurship there as well. He's the chief economist also of for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. How's it down there?
We're doing great. Now, I understand you guys have had some tough weather up there, haven't you?
Yeah, we're freezing. We had 50-mile-an-hour winds and, below 20 temperatures. And last I heard, there were like 12,000 people in our county without any power.
Including
me.
Yeah. You thought it was coming back, going to be on by now, didn't you?
Well, we got it back finally late last night, but it was, almost 2 days and the house gets very cold if you don't have any heat.
Right. Absolutely. Bill, one of the things that I want to touch on before we go any further with your report this week, tomorrow is Benjamin Franklin's birthday.
Yes.
And you're right there in Philadelphia where he spent a lot of his years, didn't he?
That's right. He did.
It's actually the 300th anniversary of his birthday.
Right, and even when he was traveling back and forth to Europe, he usually came through Philadelphia, or often came through Philadelphia.
Right, but some say he founded the city of Philadelphia.
Well, he was certainly instrumental in it, and of course he invented a lot. He was a great entrepreneur. He invented things like fire insurance, and insurance companies.
Bifocals.
Right, bifocals, how to use electricity. When we were in Paris, meeting with the governor of the Bank of France a few weeks ago, we went to the archives and saw a number of the important documents, agreements between France and the United States that were signed by Benjamin Franklin.
The French loved him, didn't they?
They did. They really did. They thought he was a marvelous man.
In his book, Benjamin Franklin, Walter Isaacson calls him America's first entrepreneur. What do you think about that?
Well, he probably wasn't the first, but he was certainly an important one. He was highly visible, made a lot of major contributions.
He's one of as one of the founders of this country, he's one of those guys that you get the feeling that they were so ahead of their time, they were so intelligent, so visionary, that if you drop them down in the middle of America right now, they'd be fully functioning in like 90 days. What do you think?
Right. They'd still be impressive, an impressive group.
Oh yeah, yeah. You still want to talk to them and see what they had to say, and they'd still be contributing to the future.
So where are those people? We might have them around still.
Yeah, I don't know where those guys are. I think they're probably hiding because they're afraid we'll expose. That they'll have to go through all the scrutiny everybody has to go through.
That's
these
right.
Days.
I think the regulations and the lawyers probably have them hidden.
Yeah, well, I knew it wouldn't be long before you'd have an opportunity to take a shot at the lawyers there, Bill. Okay.
Hey, some of my best friends are lawyers.
Yeah, me too. The new report's out.
It is.
What did you learn this time?
It is. Well, we found that the small business owners finished the year on a very, very positive note, which was really good. Looking at the December survey, we had an increase of 2 points in the net percent of our owners who planned to increase employment early this year. We had continued strong plans for capital expenditures and a surprising increase, a lot of strength in plans to invest in inventories, in inventory build, which, of course, is very good for GDP. So the GDP numbers inside the index were very, very strong, but everything looked very good.
Now, interest rates are, prime rate is now at 7.25%, which means most of the people you poll pay more than that for their current interest. Because small businesses don't live in the world of prime. We live in the world of prime plus.
That's right.
Gasoline prices are at record high in terms of dollar, not as a percentage of their income, but in terms of dollars, it's the highest, as much as $3 or more this year. And when you took this poll, actually going up a little bit, and with all that, you're still getting optimistic responses, aren't you?
Yep. It's a very resilient bunch of people, and of course the economy does tend to do very well, so they have good reason to be optimistic about business people in America.
Hold that thought, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Bill to tell us some little more specifics about what he learned this month from his small business respondents to his survey. 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. He's chief economist. I'll get it out in a minute, folks. Just stand by. Bear with me. Chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. That's NFIB.com. And Bill, we're talking about the report that your folks gave us, and I'm still amazed, Bill, with all the things going on. At the attitude and it's not only small business, but big business seems to be to have a pretty good attitude. You know, they it seems like big business spent a couple of years building up these cash hoards, and the only thing I can figure out they did that for was just in case, you know, something really catastrophic happened, and they just had to, you know, they had to rely on be pretty self-reliant. There's so much liquidity out there in big companies. Is that helping small companies? They're starting to turn that cash loose now?
Well, they are starting to turn loose, and business investment spend, for example, is growing at double-digit rates. But we're part of that. I mean, we're making the capital outlays for small people out there as well. Certainly, some of that is, a lot of small businesses are, have big businesses as customers. They make stuff for them and do things for them, and so I'm sure that, that's helping. It just helps keep the economy moving in general. There is a lot of cash out there. A lot of it's going back into stock repurchases for those big companies. But that just puts the capital back in play. So, that's fine. And all in all, they're happy. Small businesses are happy, of course, as our report shows. And consumers, got over that little funk they had in the fourth quarter. Remember, the Michigan index fell like to 70, and now it's back up to the mid-90s.
Right.
Of course, is a very good reading. So everybody's looking happy.
Well, and as the real estate bloom seems to be fading a little bit, and so there ought to be more money shifting back into equities. Won't that portend good news for Wall Street, and then therefore for Main Street?
I think so. I think the stock market ought to do a lot better this year. I think investors were waiting for the Fed to kind of get done, because rising interest rates are never a good environment for the stock market. So it looks like the Fed is about done, and it looks like investors are now happier about going back into the market, and so that's going to happen. You got all those profits and all that cash there behind all those shares of stock. They're looking good.
I predicted that the Fed would not go beyond 5% on the Fed funds rate in 2006. That's one of my predictions. Now at 4.25%, so that means they can do, if I'm correct, and which I often am. Sometimes I'm wrong, but I often am. If I'm correct, then that'll mean 3 more quarter point raises all this year. What do you think? Am I crazy?
No, I think that's probably the high end. Most of my peers agree with you that we're going to end up somewhere like 4.75 or 5. It'll all depend on how fast I think the economy looks to be growing this year. If we keep getting really strong numbers on economic growth, then the Fed, of course, will worry about inflation, not this year, but, you know, inflation next year as we run out of labor, as labor markets get tight, and, of course, commodities are still, you know, they're cheap historically, but they rose a lot, so we got a lot of commodity inflation. They'll worry about some of those things, and, of course, the price of oil will be an important thing to watch, too.
Absolutely. No, that's a big indicator, no question about it. And what did your people say about that? What did they tell you about their concerns about that, especially as it impacts prices?
Well, so far, we really haven't seen a lot of evidence that outside of specific industries, you know, like transportation, that it's been that big of an issue for firms. If you're not driving trucks around as part of your business, for example, that's not such a big issue. The cost of labor, including health care insurance and those kinds of things, still remain at the top of the list of concerns for small business owners.
And that's not going to get better. That's going to get worse, isn't it?
That is. It's going to get,
as unemployment now drops,
get worse from the owner's point of view and better from the worker's point of view.
Well, yeah. And that's going to be good for the consumer side, isn't it?
It is.
Don't you just love capital? The capitalistic system? I love capitalism.
When you make extra stuff, that would be growth in GDP, you're going to sell it and you get revenue. And that gets shared between what we call capital and labor. And over the past 2 years or so, capital's share of GDP has grown very nicely, which is why we have all those record profits. And then when labor markets tighten up and compensation goes up, then labor reclaims that share, and then they do well for a while. And that's the way, as you said, that's the way the markets work.
A little more than a week ago, the president announced that unemployment had dipped down to 4.9%.
Nice.
And the economy created approximately 2 million jobs last year, and they're predicting 2 million more this year. And that's going to create some upward pressure on payroll. And the Fed doesn't like that, does it?
Right. If we do 2 million more again this year, that'll essentially imply growth, you know, faster than the labor force is growing, the population
right.
is growing. And so that means tighter labor markets, and that means that you have to pay more to get labor. And, of course, if we don't offset that with productivity gains, that shows up as prices. That is, firms have to pass those costs on in the form of higher prices. And the other name for that is inflation.
That's right,
why the Fed will watch it closely.
Which we've had pricing power, which we like, but when pricing power turns into, small businesses have, but when pricing power turns into inflation, that's when the Fed doesn't like it, and that's when you come back to the increased interest rates, isn't it?
That's right. And I think that's what the Fed is trying to kind of preempt. They would like to see the economy slow down a little bit this year. So that we can kind of match the growth of our ability to make stuff, which is labor force and of course, capital investment, with the demand for goods and services. Let's see how well they do.
Right. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he and I will be right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I got a couple of really important questions to ask him. I think you'll be interested in hearing his answers. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill Dunkelberg is Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business and a Professor of Economics at Temple University, formerly the Dean there, until he decided to get rid of all those administrative headaches and just do what he does is better than anybody I know, and that's teach our young minds more and more about the free market economy. And I'll tell you, Bill, it makes me happy to know that we got folks like you out there teaching those young minds.
Well, thank you very much. I teach old minds, too. The other day I did 500 people at the Real Estate Outlook program here in Philadelphia, and then I did another couple hundred or so at a banking conference the same day. So I was given a lot of lectures that day.
Good for you. Well, I'm sorry I missed those. Bill, I want to wander off the ledger for just a minute and get your thoughts on this. I keep hearing people reporting about what great savers the Japanese are and the Chinese and everybody else in the world, all the other countries in the world, they're all great savers. And Americans are not so much good savers. We're actually not savers at all. We save like, you know, less than a half of 1% of our income. And when you hear those reports, it's almost like saving good, not saving bad. And so they're good and Americans are bad. And I'm thinking, you know what? Wait a minute. if our economy, I mean, most of those economies that those people are talking about are not doing so well, where those people, all those people are saving, they're not spending their money. And if people aren't spending money, nobody can invest money. And so I've decided that Americans, no, we're not good savers, but we're pretty darn good investors. And you know what, Bill, I'll take an investor over a saver any day. What do you think?
Well, it's a complicated question. You know, here's an economics lecture coming, but let me try to do it in really simple terms. If in our economy we consumed everything we made, there would be no investment. If the, you know, forgetting about the rest of the world for the moment, there'd be no investment. In other words, I need you to not spend all your money, put some of the money in my bank so that I can then lend it to a small business owner so he can buy new plant equipment, he can expand his business, buy a truck. That's investment because that raises worker productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So savings equals investment in an economy. Now, we are poor savers, and there are a number of savers in our economy. The consumer is one, and you're right, for the last 3 or 4 months, the savings rate has been negative, meaning we have spent more money out at the stores than our after-tax income. So that's not good. But there are some other savers. Believe it or not, the government sector is saving an amount equal to about 1% of GDP, and that's in surpluses. The federal government has no surplus, but the state and local governments actually have a lot of money, and they have a small surplus. So that's 1% savings rate for the economy. And then businesses save and retained earnings and and depreciation allowances, and that's about 4% of GDP. But investment is 15% of GDP, and our saving is only 5%. So there's a gap there, and guess who fills the gap?
Mm-hmm.
The foreigners.
Exactly.
$1 trillion of foreign saving comes over here, and it finances the investment and, you know, Nissan plants. I mean, there's a lot of fixed investment going on over here.
Right.
That we, you and I, are not funding the way we're supposed to fund it.
But still, I don't have a problem with fixed investment over here. What I'm concerned about, and I think some people are concerned about, are some of the debt instruments that foreign countries have. Like, isn't it China now who's thinking about not being so heavy in U.S. securities?
Yeah, they probably would think about that. But remember, if they stop sending dollars over here, spending will also go down here.
Right.
The flip side of a trade deficit is a capital inflow.
Mm-hmm.
So money's coming in, and we have more to spend here than we can make here, and so that gap is filled by a huge amount of imports. So if less world saving comes here, we'll also be running a smaller trade deficit, and it won't accumulate as much debt.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is a little complicated. Sorry for that lesson.
No. That's exactly what I wanted you to do, because it helps us to understand when we read these things.
Yeah.
It helps us to understand these things a little bit better.
Yeah, we also underestimate, our saving here. We count investments in education as consumption, but really that's a very important investment in the United States. So all this education spending, which is huge, is not counted as investment.
Don't we also have to think about the value of cash flow? And when money's being saved, it's not flowing as much, is it?
Well, it depends on how effective your financial system is in getting the money in play. Again, if you put the money in my bank or a business puts it in a bank, any bank, anywhere, our job is then to get that money back out into the marketplace. And if we have to lower interest rates to do it, we do, but we want to keep that spending going.
Bill, tell us where your report is available. Give us that website again, please.
smallbiz.org.
Smallbiz.org. It's also on my homepage, too. Thanks, Bill. See you next time.
All right, Jim. Thanks.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.